Ah, we're live, aren't we?
Oh, we're live.
Oh, man. Everybody, welcome to Chat Wheel. It's January 26th, 2014, and I'm your host, Darith. And with me, as always, Greg, what is hip, Laird? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I accidentally woke up a little later than I would have preferred today.
What time was that now?
5:30.
Nice job. Nice job.
I haven't had the most productive day, I suppose you could say. I've pretty much eaten, and then I made the intro for the show, and then I realized that I didn't change the date on the overlay. So there's
good
that.
Good job.
Yeah.
Me and Mason are just sitting in our chat on Skype, and I'm like, all right, so we got this done. We need to get this done. Hey, Greg, you there? Greg?
Nah.
Gregory? Text him. Greg, you alive? Call him. Greg!
Oh, God.
Buddy, do you need a rescue squad? Call us back.
Yeah,
we're not like, coming.
He's like, oh my god, I just woke up from your phone call.
Help!
Oh my god. Greg is known for one line responses in chat. It drives me nuts because now Skype update their app, right? So every time one comes through, it buzzes. So what happens is like, and then if you don't have like Wi-Fi and it connects,
no,
you get
it's
fucking bombarded by like 35 pings over and over again.
And it's mostly just bullshit because Greg will go like, guys,
it's like a bunch of characters.
God damn.
It's like a bunch of characters. Like, LOL, hey, space, enter. Guys, enter. What's up, guys, enter. I'm like, fucking Greg,
this?
Man.
Sentences. This is some flame, man. It's also
Mason,
true.
Mason. White Elf Hills, Wade Donasiati. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to know that you guys are alive because I really haven't heard much from you or Greg this weekend. Because you're busting his balls. You woke up at 6 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah, you did the same thing yesterday. I don't want to hear this.
I did. I did do that. It was magnificent. It was really was.
Granted,
it was a good sleep.
Yesterday was not the important day.
No. That was a day where I didn't do anything. I wasn't needed, unlike someone else. And with us this week, our very special guest, the only person on the show who has a better voice than me, Andrew Zayori Campbell.
What's up,
Greg,
guys?
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm making tea, okay?
Did I just see, like,
he just started to interrupt. Up. Like, he's just, like, holding animal? This thing and just squeezing.
It's honey. It was honey. You guys are a bunch of big flamers.
Anyway, Greg, you're stealing my spotlight right now.
Oh,
you're pulling a Lumi on me.
Holy shit.
Ouch.
Oh, man.
Shots fired. Oh, what's up, guys? So, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, man? How's LA treating you?
I am fabulous, except for the dry air that I was complaining about. Other than that, it's great out here on the West Coast, man.
Fabulous.
Finally used to this beautiful, warm, sunny weather.
Mm-hmm. What was
that
the
was shots fired
what
at Greg.
What was the temperature there today?
Oh, I don't know. Nice, healthy 75 or so.
Oh, my God. Killing yourself.
Hey, I had one of those degrees in the temperature here today.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
What temperature was it again?
75-ish. Fluctuates, goes up and down, cycles between 60 and 80. You know, gets a little cooler at night, gets a little warmer during the day.
Oh yeah? 31 yesterday. Yeah. Jealous? Are you jealous?
No, everyone from Jersey keeps sending me pictures of their backyards just covered in snow. And I just send back... Sorry, I don't know what you want me to do about it.
Just take different pictures of beautiful areas every time you do that.
I mean, I haven't really
this
gone outside,
ocean.
I'm not going to lie. This is the best internet I've ever had, so I've been pretty satisfied just staying indoors playing Dota.
How fast is it? What kind of internet they got at the
We've got some pretty sick Verizon Fios. I just ran a speed test. I'm getting 150 down, about 70 up right now.
Oh my fucking god.
Fios, and that's including Merlini streaming right now in 1200p, and I'm sure everyone else is going crazy with the internet.
Apoptosis is streaming too.
Pretty
right
nice.
Now
is he really? Everybody's streaming. Yeah. So
that's ridiculous.
How do you stream in 1200p?
Well, he has a monitor that's not 16:9, 16:10.
The 16:10 monitor.
Yeah.
I have a 16:10 monitor.
Pretty exclusive.
Probably never heard of it.
I got a 16:10 too. I'm at 1920x1200. I'm part of the elite group. Although it sucks because the way Dota looks, it does. It's like if you look at like the UI of Dota, instead of having like the three columns of friends on the right, you only get two, and then that little space between like the minimap and your character stuff is gone, so you can't even see that nice sweet like whatever's on there, whether it's Shagbark or
it's weird.
A cool design. It sucks, actually. I kind of want a 16x9, which I'll get as soon as I get my tax returns, which I got to wait now 2 months for because of shit that was wrong at work. They got to send a new thing to fix it, and March 21st is like the date they're going to do that. So now I'm near suicide.
Wow.
So who wants what? I'm giving things away. Because I can always see it just in front of my nose.
I'll take your liquor collection.
Yes. Easy. Yes.
Not close.
I can't even blame you, because let's take a look at the liquor collection. Oh yeah. Right, that's
and not a pomegranate martini in sight.
I know.
Whatever.
Brother, look at that. Okay. Chat wheel sponsored by Jack Daniels. Not really, but if it did, oh my god, that'd be amazing.
College. Wow.
See?
Can't even look at you. All right, let's get
a show.
So when did you leave? When did you arrive?
Okay, so I arrived. Oh, when did I arrive? Late Monday night, sometime like, well, it wasn't that late. 7 or so Monday. So coming up on full 7 days here in the new house, all moved in. I did it pretty well. I drove 4 days. So I stayed 3 nights. I stopped in Indianapolis, Oklahoma City, and Albuquerque. So I got to see a nice bit of the countryside cruising across.
How was the drive?
It was okay. It's tedious, man. Like, it's about 40-45 hours worth of driving. So doing that by yourself is, like, kind of fun for parts of it, because you don't have to deal with anybody else's bladder or anyone else complaining that they're hungry or they have diarrhea or they don't feel good or, like, bad music taste. But the flip side is, about that third day, you're just sitting there thinking, like, I really wish I had anyone to talk to. But I've listened to a shit ton of Joe Rogan podcasts. I listened to like 20-ish hours of the Joe Rogan Experience. So
yeah, I gotta imagine like podcasts or like ebooks, like things like that, are how you get through that kind of journey.
I tried some audiobooks, but they sucked, and that might have just been my choice in book.
Yeah, not ebook, whatever.
I feel like you should have loaded up old episodes of Chat Wheel and listened to that on the way.
Because or, like, I want to hear our voices for 45 minutes.
Or at least Dota Radio. We're like, I sound so damn good. Oh yeah, <Shit's
driving. laughs> I have a friend who lives out in Ohio, and I mean I'm in Rhode Island for college, and he drives back and forth for all the breaks. So that's like a 14-hour drive or so, and he just loads up his car with playlists of like 90s music and Britney Spears that he can sing along to the entire drive home, and that keeps him awake.
I did that. I listened to a lot of Limp Bizkit too. Nothing like some nice aggressive Fred Durst to keep you energized, you know. Chocolate Starfish.
So how did BTS offer you the job? Was it your puppet starfish that they enjoyed?
It was a Skype message. What do you mean? How?
Like, did you know
you
it was
wanted
coming?
On the shit?
Was it surprising, you know. Did you know it was coming?
Sort of, but not really. I mean, all the stuff I did with them with Starlighter Season 8, that contracting work went really well. I've talked about it in my podcast a couple of times. BTS is like one of these companies that has found a really good mix of giving you direction but not micromanaging. Most companies that I've contracted with to do like broadcasting work, they've either micromanaged me so much that I just don't want to do it anymore, because it's like, why don't you just do it if you're going to, you know, make me fit this little tiny model of exactly how you want things done that are, you know, arbitrary and ridiculous. And then I've got other companies that just sort of say, all right, go at it, you know, point in case it's a go-to. They're like, yeah, why don't you just get some shows going, you know, maybe start doing some casts. It's like, that's not, those aren't directions. Those are just really basic ideas. So BTS was really good at sort of letting me take the reins and do things my way, but also, you know, point me in the right direction and, you know, giving me little pointers here and there of things that I could be doing better and that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I felt like even if they weren't going to offer me a full-time position, there was at least going to be more contracting work down the road, because, I don't know, it seemed to be a pretty symbiotic relationship. They were happy with someone that they didn't have to micromanage, and I was happy not to be micromanaged. And they sort of teased me a bit with, well, we might have a full-time position in 2014. We're not really sure, this and that. Of course, they were sure, but, you know.
And then you killed Lumi to get it.
Yeah, I know. And then so I
how much him. Did that hitman cost?
It was expensive. It was really expensive. To get that kind of reaction on Reddit, man, you got to invest a lot. I'll tell you what.
It's kind of interesting, because like I saw you sent me the Skype messages, and you were like, "Oh yeah, so what's going on, LD? Yeah, that Lumi kind of stinks. He hasn't been doing much lately, has he?" I should be casting that more. And it just went from there.
And then you're like, I'm gonna kill him. Stuff. I'm gonna kill him. He's gone.
I know.
I assume that you got the hitman from Jersey, and the deal was just like, yo, you get me over that fucking bridge, you got yourself a deal.
It was cheap and easy. It's easy to find corruption in Jersey. But
I'm making shit up about the chat, by the way, just so you know. Audience.
Yeah. Yes. Much joke. So anyway.
Yeah.
The timing is what was surprising more so than anything else. They were very slow and methodical, and we're not really sure. We're still working with contracts. And then basically a couple days before New Year's, they said, you know, we'd like to offer you a full-time position. And then I took about a week or so to think about it before I formally accepted. And then after that, I accepted and went on vacation. And then as soon as I got back from vacation, I packed up my shit and drove out west.
How was the talk with your family, if that was part of the decision?
It was not a discussion. It was a, I'm doing this. Get used to it.
It was like, peace. I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm 37. I'm done here. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're pretty happy. I've been, there's this sort of this weird friction in my family of not really understanding exactly what I do. I mean, they understand the premise of, okay, you talk about stuff, but business-wise, like, how do people actually make money and make a living and do this full-time? So I think until now, they haven't really believed me when I've told them that I've got a lot of irons in the fire, you know, you got to just get that big break, entertainment industry bullshit. And now I think they finally believe me a little bit. It's amazing how some of my family members have changed their tone from, you're really wasting your time with all this video game bullshit, you got to find a real job, to, we're so proud of you, you finally found a real job, yeah. It's just like, it's all, I'm glad you're happy, Jesus Christ. So legit. It's been good, but it was nice to have some reassurance that I haven't wasted my time the past 3 years I've been doing this stuff.
Well, we're happy.
Look, kid, I don't know what you're doing with this video game shit, but if it gets you out of our basement, fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
That accent.
Pretty much.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's not what my parents sound like, but it was a noble effort, Mason. Well done.
I tried to sound as sleazy as possible.
Well, maybe if you invite us... maybe if you invite us over once in a while to Jersey, we'd know what your parents sound like, but you didn't.
I'm sorry, I would decline the invitation.
We weren't that far. You're even closer.
That's true, we're pretty close. So no, it was good. They're excited, and I actually have family out here around this area. My one set of grandparents live in Huntington Beach, which is about an hour towards the coast. We're actually fairly far inland. We're in an LA suburb, not actually in like downtown LA or anything. That I have family kind of trickled outwards. So it's nice to at least have some family in the area in case something goes awry or whatever. I have a backup plan or places where I can escape if the Beyond the Summit house becomes too much.
Too much yelling.
Too much, too intense.
So is the studio actually in the house, like it was in the last one?
Okay. It will be, I guess, is a better way to say it. A lot of people have been asking me for pictures and like a tour of the house and stuff. And the reason we haven't posted any of that stuff is because it's not finished yet. We have a giant custom made desk that actually just arrived yesterday, and we're still assembling it and getting everything put together. So within the next 2 weeks or so, the studio part of the house should be pretty much set up and good to go with all the cameras and lights and everything, but right now the pictures just wouldn't do it justice, so we've been a little secretive about all that stuff. But yeah, it's a really big house. It's a big 6-bedroom house, and basically the bottom floor is a common living area, a kitchen, and then a huge studio area, and then we're all scattered about the upstairs.
Is Lumi's stuff out of that room yet?
Yeah, I threw it out the window. There was a dumpster down below, and he left his computer, and I pissed on it and then broke it over my knee. And then I drove it to the incinerator just to make sure that there was no evidence of the crime.
Oh,
good for you.
DNA fragments.
Yeah. That was you. I gotta say that, man, your Reddit post got a little spoiled by people being unhappy about that. But
well, it's a weird thing. Right now, there's sort of a lull in tournaments. Like we've got CIS Carnage, we've got NSL, and that's it, right? So there's not a lot of other drama in the scene.
Yeah,
so people need something to latch onto,
right?
So they need something. They're looking for drama, and they tried to make it happen. Despite their best efforts, though, it was diffused pretty quickly. Gods made a little comment on the one of the threads that spawned from the initial thread. About, you know, how they sort of parted ways with Lumi, and then LD posted a much longer sort of thought out post on Facebook, and then finally Lumi came out of the woodwork and wrote that blog about, hey guys, I'm still alive. They didn't fire me. I made choices that were my own. So What irritated me about it was two things. One, that there were people in that thread that were just normal, like, oh, congratulations, that got downvoted into Oblivion. And that's just like, come on, guys, you're just abusing the voting system.
Yeah, I was busy that day.
That never happens. Abusing the voting system, when does that ever happen?
That was just a little frustrating. Like, man, now my fans are getting pooped on for being just nice, friendly, pleasant people. And then the other aspect was just it turned into this, like, Sayori's replacing Lumi. Sayori is shittier and not as established as Lumi, hence, fuck Sayori and everything he's ever done. And that sort of line of logic, I see how Reddit got there, but very misguided. Very
misguided.
I see misguided.
His thought process, but...
Here's my take on it. Are you completely 100% knowledgeable about Dota and know everything? No. But I think you have a very good potential to be awesome. You know what I mean? I don't think you're the best person in the world. I think you're really good. I think you're really good. And I don't see the big problem. You know what I mean?
We like you.
Yeah.
We'll do well in the future.
You motherfucker, were you supposed to tell me you were going? You didn't tell me. I'm still hurt.
Wait. Does this mean you're not coming to PAX East?
No, well, I have a ticket. I'm still tentatively planning. I told the BTS guys that I'm part of a caravan that goes, and they know, and I'm still tentatively going, but it kind of depends on what tournaments are going on around then and all that stuff. So
I'm surprised you had to drive. You're making that esports money now.
All right, well, yeah. I'm just saying I've got a floor and a couch. So
all right.
I live in an empty space. My bed's pretty big, so, you know, I bet we could both... No, I'm kidding. But
you can spoon with him and you can spoon with him and Figs the dog, but be warned, they both fart horrendously.
Yeah, they do.
But
so,
all right.
What's your plan for the our competition, the Dota Radio Morning Show? Is that still going on?
Well, that's a really good question. One of the reasons that the Beyond the Summit guys chose me over some of the other anonymous casters that they were considering was because of my work with the Dota Radio Morning Show. Coming up in 2014, they want to mix in a lot more show content alongside like the regular commentary that they do. So that was really the big niche that they wanted me to fill. So with that said, we're still not exactly sure if it's going to be the Dota Radio Morning Show or become the Beyond the Summit Morning Show, or if it's even going to be a morning show. It might be something completely different. The spirit of what we did at the morning show is going to continue on at Beyond the Summit, but we still haven't exactly sorted out in what fashion. If it's going to be that same format, if that's going to turn into a once-a-week type show. We have a whole list, a whole big document full of show ideas. You know, some of them more analytical, some of them more news-based, some of them, you know, kind of one-on-one, and a lot of different ideas, and we still haven't finalized which ones we're going to use, which ones we're going to throw away, and how we're going to combine them. So it's still kind of a gray area. The idea of the morning show will live on, but I don't know exactly in what format or what frequency quite yet.
Well, guys. we're buried at this point.
Do you think there's ever going to be a possibility to see more more audio-only casts, you know, geared more towards a radio style?
That's a really good question. That's something that I asked the Beyond the Summit guys if they were interested in. I think the exact way I worded it is, do you guys see any value in Dota Radio as a brand? And I sort of, you know, when you're talking to somebody on Skype and they're responding very quickly, and then there's that, like, moment of silence where it's like you see them typing and then the erase, and they see them typing
and then that few seconds thing.
And you're like, all right, never mind.
Yeah, not even trying to use the pencil, and I was just like, fuck, that was another stupid thing to say. So I don't know. It's one of those things that it's hard to look at, like, is there any ROI? Is there any way to find positive return on that? And there are definitely ways to make money off of podcasting and audio-only content, but it's a lot harder, and you need numbers. You need bigger numbers than we're sort of used to seeing. So what we're probably going to do is end up doing a trial run and run it alongside some of our casts and see if people really use it. And if the numbers are, you know, like in the triple digits, we'll probably just cut it out of the picture because it's, you know, kind of a wasted bit of effort. But it also kind of depends on two other things. One, ease of execution. If it's one of those things that we can just turn it on and then we have an audio-only stream, you know, that takes almost no effort and it's just an additional service, we'll probably do it. If it ends up being a little bit more involved with the way we have the stream set up, then things could be a little less cost-effective in terms of the amount of time we have to put into it. The other problem is what we were doing with Dota Radio, that MixLR software. doesn't work on Android, and that is a big bottleneck. And a lot of thing, a legitimate criticism that people had is, I have this Android phone, and I can't listen to your audio only shit on mobile. And I still haven't found a good workaround. Part of the problem is I have an iPhone 5, so I can't troubleshoot on my end. But that's been another big hurdle because, of course, mobile is the big appeal for the audio only market, right?
Oh yeah,
and
easily.
If Android users can't use it, there's almost no point in doing it because it creates more of a headache than it's worth. Even though I look at it as like, well, at least people with iPhones get to use it. But as a PR thing, just gets construed as, fuck you guys, you don't like Android users, even though I have nothing to do with the fact that the software doesn't work with Android. So if, you know, it might be easier just to say, all right, sorry guys. I've heard rumors that Twitch may have some sort of a function or app or something.
There has to be something that they have to
pull the audio out. I have a feeling it would be pretty easy to engineer.
I can't imagine. It's very hard. It's like, take the audio part, make it a quality option. Like, you open up the Twitch app and there's just a quality option for, you know, audio only.
Right. So there are a couple things in the works, but yeah, the audio only market, a lot of folks aren't that excited about it. My take is that it's not a huge demographic, but the people that are excited about it are a very vocal minority. So they're a market worth catering to, but that's... Yeah. That's just my opinion, and of course I am a peon here, so so we'll see. All that stuff is still kind of up in the air. It kind of depends on it's just a lower priority compared to the other stuff we're working on. Like getting the studio actually up and running is kind of the number one priority right now, and that other stuff is still on the list to be discussed, but has yet to be discussed.
All right. Sounds good. You've been busy though, enjoying your time.
Yeah, well, I've been sort of half busy. I've been really just getting settled and you know, I did my first stream from my bedroom yesterday, so I'm finally, like, actually moved in and had my computer set up. And, like, when I got here Monday night, I had a bed frame and a dresser, but I had no desk and I had no mattress. My mattress didn't arrive until Thursday morning. So I had three nights kind of camping out on the floor with my laptop and one of my monitors plugged into it, propped up on a cardboard box. And all sorts of stuff. So even though I got here on Monday, I didn't really get actually settled and start using my computer and stuff until like halfway through Thursday. So I haven't really been doing a whole lot other than just getting comfortable and making lists of things I need to buy and, you know, updating all of my stuff as well, adding Beyond the Summit to all of the Zayori TV stuff and all that shit.
Sounds good. The only question we have from Reddit that we could use, because people are shitty, all right, is... Reddit. What kind of shampoo do you use?
Oh, I should have brought it out of the bathroom. I use, here, I can post a link. I use what's called Dr. Bronner's. It's this super, every so often people tell me they've heard of it. It's this super
hippy-dippy. I know what that is.
Yeah, it's Dr. Bronner's Organic Castle Liquid Soap. Here, I don't use the peppermint one. I use the lavender smell.
Oh, you don't use the peppermint one?
No, I'm a lavender kind of guy.
Oh, God.
But it's really good.
I've used the peppermint one before.
Yeah, it's really good. It's kind of an all-purpose soap, but it's good for dreads because it's a coconut oil base, so it basically just strips the oil out and doesn't have... It's like kind of like a residue-free. It's kind of a bare bones. The ingredients are like water, organic coconut oil, and a couple of other oils that I've never heard of and some vitamins. It's really like a basic kind of a thing. That's the big thing with dreads. You don't want to use like mainstream shampoo because they leave all this nasty shit in there that never comes out. So Dr. Bronner's just stripping the oils. I actually get that question a lot, but I guess people don't write down the answer.
Well, now we have proof.
It's recording. And now we know.
But yeah, and also maybe we should just clear the air with this whole Lumi thing. It's been posted everywhere. Yeah. If people are still like living under a rock and haven't, they're upset enough to post how shitty it is that I've replaced Lumi but haven't figured out where his blog is, then it's a demographic that probably isn't really worth explaining to anyhow. But of course, just to reiterate what actually happened, BTS offered Lumi a full-time position. He turned it down because he wanted to pursue his own things. I don't know the details. It all happened before I got here. He turned that job down before they were even considering me for a full-time position.
Yeah, I'm under the impression that was like a while ago.
Yeah, it was like October a while ago, like before they even knew who I was. So there was no, like, the timelines just don't match up. There was no replacing Lumi. He turned it down, and then they started looking for other people, and I slowly but surely floated to the top of the list. It was really just a slow-going thing. So as LD posted, there are no hard feelings. We may still be working with Lumi in the future. It was just an amicable parting of ways. So
I want you to do something to
Lumi. Sure.
The first if he comes over, right, and he does a cast with you in the studio, I want like the first 10 minutes to look like very awkward. Like you guys hate each other, but you're holding it back just barely. Like, so, Lumi, how's it going?
You have to just look really surprised he's still alive.
Let's get to the game.
We've got some interesting comedic ideas like that for stuff that I'm excited about.
Yeah. The ghost of Luminous Inverse.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Beyond the Summit. I'm Zayori. Just have, like, you know, Lumi just come in and sit down. You're like, bitch, what the fuck you doing here? You know? Just...
But I don't know if you guys saw the vlog that I did that got uploaded to the BTS YouTube, but I had this idea where I was going to, like, just have the camera on like this with me not in the chair and then walk in and sort of, like, pretend like I didn't realize the camera was on, then just be like, oh, fuck, I did it again, and then have it fade out, and then the vlog would start. But I was afraid I couldn't nail the comedic timing, so I didn't do it, but... There's nothing worse than that awkward, like, oh, you're trying to make a joke, but I'm not laughing. That's, like, my worst fear as someone in the public eye, you know? Those terrible jokes.
Mason, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Can you teach me the ways of jokes, Mason?
can I teach you the ways of jokes?
Of failed jokes.
I am only an expert in slapstick comedy, in which I beat Darius over the head with a banana peel and everybody else... I'm also
it is awesome. Protein is good for the hair.
I'm very good at insult comedy, but only with Greg because he's a fucking easy to make fun of.
He really is a good.
You guys see this? This is what I deal with.
This he is really a is a good target. So basically, what happened was with Lumi, right? He wanted to explore other options. He had some freelancing ideas that he had, and James Too Good had mentioned on his own stream saying they had offered him a position over in. And the Too Good Studios.
Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in Sweden. Whether he's taking that or not, who knows. He did say in his blog that he had several exciting possibilities for live casting overseas in their future, where I can feel I can push myself even further.
He's got options. I mean,
he does. And he's amazing. He's one of the oldest casters who, and he's taught so many people how to play and know how the game operates. Its mechanics.
Yeah, and the other thing a lot of people don't know, at least recently this was true at least, is that he's in school. He's in grad school. I don't know if that's still true. Maybe it's not actually this
For math, right?
No.
Whoa!
You know what? I didn't want to. I'm pretty sure I was almost...
Holy shit!
Look, dude!
I didn't want to say it because I'm pretty sure that was going to be the reaction.
I'm under the impression that he was in grad school for teaching of some sort, so...
You know what? I'm going to fucking find out.
Oh, I didn't even get that, and it just clicked down. That's some cold lotion, Mason.
You know what? I'm going to find
that. Was
all right, all right. We're going to put this Lumi thing to bed. Mason can go rage for a little bit, but we've got a lot of other topics we want
to
talk about.
All right, so let's move on to the Bloom Festival. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to talk about this. There has never been so many words typed out that meant absolutely nothing in the history of mankind, okay? Because everything that they talked about was so entirely vague that... I'm not quite sure what's happening with it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to make a couple hypothetical ideas. It's probably going to be bullshit. So please enjoy it. So Valve announced the new Bloom Festival in their day one press release, which we'll probably see some next week, probably early in the week, maybe tomorrow or a day or two from now, about more parts of it, what the patch is going to be about and what kind of heroes. I'm still saying Sun Wukong, all right?
Oh, my God.
That's going to show up there. He's a Chinese Monkey King. It's the Wukong.
That's a League of Legends champion, man.
No, he was in Dota 6.79.
This is just...
They showed him in there. They had 7-8 peaches, right? And they had...
Every time we talk about this, I get stupider.
And he had stats, and I'm telling you, this character might show up. Because 6.79 in Dota, every time there's a 0.9 patch, they include a new hero that you have to fight in 8.0 that becomes the next hero. Elder Titan... Invoker, so on and so forth. So that's my shot. If it isn't Monkey King, I'd be seriously sad because it's the fucking perfect opportunity to do it.
Because there will have been months of flame at Greg that you'll have to revoke.
I know. I still
no
think
one wants to admit
that. Anyway, it's a new post. It's a new game mode. There's an OnGamers Analyze article thing, which makes sense to me. It's basically, it's another game. You're going to be able to buy favor like in... Wraith Knight. There's a courier at the end for the people who win.
Looks like another Golden Baby Roshan, Platinum Baby Roshan.
Yeah, it's like a horse thing. It's kind of cool.
It's pretty sick.
It looks like Spirit Breaker and Magnus had a love child.
You know, that's
still pretty accurate.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay. I'm looking forward to shooting fireworks at that motherfucker. Oh, sorry. Am I not allowed to curse here? Is this PG?
No, not really.
I'm working on the tagline, the chat wheel, the most unprofessional professional show in Denver. That's what we're. That might be our tagline.
Apparently, that's what we're going for.
I think the better tagline would be the most fucking unprofessional professional show.
I feel like unprofessional professional professional unprofessional. I can't decide which way I want to go. That's my
unprofessional
problem.
Professional. That's just how the syntax works there.
Ooh. All right. Because I'm not here for syntax. I'm here for
you can't be a professional unprofessional, but you can be an unprofessional professional.
Yeah, but a professional.
Okay, oh my god!
Just believe me on that.
I can't handle this.
So it's all like, right. So basically, you have a. What's on second?
I'm on third.
Greg's never been to third.
Oh,
talk about.
Oh my god! What the?
I should just
leave.
Valve has announced the new Bloom, right? So they talk about a year beast that will come back and forth, that will show up in like kind of like cycles. Players will find flame salt ingots that will be crafted into special things to fight them with. There'll be hats, I'm sure, everywhere. I'm probably gonna have to sell some of my stuff to be able to afford all this stuff because it looks awesome. New Bloom recipes, crafting items, seen in the workshop, buy chests with tokens, and then the courier is obviously coming. Here's a question as I'm looking this over. And the Area Reborn is a new spring theme map, which looks awesome. There might be some custom towers going on there. There was a picture of it looked like a tower that looked like kind
some,
of a...
Some lanterns a, and shit.
Yeah. But here's my question. So we've had Dire Tide. We've had... Frostivus, well, canceled Frostivus. We've had Wraith Knight. And every time I've played these modes, I've enjoyed them for about 3 or 4 days, and then I forget that they even friggin' existed. And I start playing Dota, and I completely forget about it. What can Valve do to keep the interest in this mode? I mean, Dota 2 is an amazing game. That's why I've been playing it for years.
Less repetition. The reason I like Dota is because I've played a shitload of games of Dota over the course of my life, and almost always they're—I mean, 99.9% of the time—they're completely different games. Mm-hmm. You know, you might go the same build, still a completely different game, but these games are just super repetitive, not interesting. I don't know.
I think you have to actively work to make it interesting. And two-part comment here: I think this will be a lot more novel for us because we've never seen it before. We had, like, even though Wraith Knight was different, we sort of had that theme type thing already, and I think Wraith Knight did better than Dire Tide. I think Dire Tide was the same thing that we had last year, you know, minus the try hard part. So it was cool, and then it wasn't great. And then Wraith Knight was fine. It was like a tower defense. You played it for a bit, people had fun, and then it was whatever.
I thought it was pretty boring.
I liked it. I enjoyed defense, it. But I feel like if all the other heroes had shown up. Like, I felt like we were going to keep adding heroes in.
Yeah.
And it would stay, like, as a mode in the background.
There's nothing to say that it won't make a comeback, though. There's nothing to say that that is a permanent goodbye sort of thing, because it seems like a lot of work to put in for something that's not going to be seen again. But I think this is going to be something, you know, completely new and different. Now that they've sort of been working on, you know, custom scripts and stuff like that for stuff like Wraith Knight, maybe this will be, you know, even better than that time. But I think you also have to... actively, like, if you want to make it fun, you have to work to make it fun. Like, Grieveling last year, the first canceled Frostivus thing was just like, you go around to the creep camps, you kill some Grievels faster than your opponent does, and if you have more than them, wahoo, you win. Like, you can play that very boringly and just five-man them and hope that you get more, or you can play it for fun. You can play it to not win. Like, my brother and I, when you could still do Pudge Hooks, would just go around fountain hooking all the Grievels from the camps, and did we lose a lot of games because we fucked it up? Sure, but it was a lot more entertaining than, you know, playing to win to get more hats than the other team.
I think for me, it's like, for Wraith Knight at least, the goals just seemed like so unachievable. Like, you have to win like a bazillion of these games to actually get the item, and I just like don't care.
There wasn't a lot of instant
gratification.
Maximum,
I'm going to play like, maybe without reward, I'm going to play 2 to 3 of these things and be like, okay. I literally played one game of Wraith Knight and then I was done.
I think the problem with Wraith Knight was that there was a bit of a lack of the instant gratification that Dire Tide and Grieveling have. Like, you finish a match, you get an item. Like, that's going to be it. Yeah. But with Wraith Knight, it was all about collecting the shards to turn it in to get items. And granted, the items were cool, but, you know, you had to grind for your hats rather than just being like, here's some cool shit, have fun.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you, Mason. That was my biggest beef with doing like the stuff, the Wraith Knight stuff this year. I was just like, all right, so I have to read up about all these. There's two different shards, and then you get a certain amount of them. Oh, I got 13,000 ass shit shards. Now I get to put those together, and then I get half of an item, and then I put that in a scroll, and then I put it inside of this magic bottle, and then I shake it up. And that's just not information that I care about. I don't really care about items that much, but I think Valve is just trying to slowly get us acclimated to having custom games, so that when they roll out games, we're all really like just okay with it, and we swallow it right away.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably a bad person to ask about it, because I don't really care about the cosmetic items that much either. So for me, it's like all this extra effort to get something that I don't really care about anyway. I play it once and go, oh, that was interesting. And then I go back to playing regular Dota. I like regular old Dota, man. I'm happy with Dota 2. I'm working on my MMR, that solo queue, trying to make my way to the top, you know.
Yeah,
what's your solo queue?
3.8K.
3.8K? I found my group one. It was like 2.9.
What's yours, Greg? What's your solo,
mine's
Greg?
Mine's 3.9. We're very close. I think mine actually right now is 3.85. So I'm like right in the middle.
I need Beta Zeru to
you
know,
not
teach
need,
me.
You do not need Beta's teaching you. Beta's only plays Rust these days.
We need Ryu to play our accounts for us.
Yeah.
Team E-Hug, please help me.
I have to say that I never feel as useless as when I play games with pros. Like, I'm just like feeding, and they have like 20 kills, and that's what happened the other day. We played a game with Ryu. He played Broodmother. He got like 18 kills. He was like 18-1. I was like 2-6. I was like, man,
to be fair,
that's
horrible. A stupid hero.
I played with Ryu, and I didn't feed, and I did half decent, and I was like, I'm done playing for like 4 days because I can't beat this. I played in like some bracket I shouldn't be in. I didn't fucking feed. I hit some hooks with Clockwork, and I called it a day. And I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm done here.
It's amazing that we play down in your shit tier,
yeah.
And you still feed so badly, yet you can survive Ryu tier.
I swear to God, man. Here's my thing. I'm not consistent, okay? I can play good, and I can play bad, and I never find the medium where I just do it all the time. And you feed as much as I do, asshole, all right? So I wouldn't talk.
Okay. All right. You both feed.
No.
Feed
here comes the dick measuring contest. Let's go.
Nope, we're done. All right, 322. Fine. 322 round two.
322 round Blaze two.
Is it?
Match fixing.
Oh.
Next KZ, eliminated
God
from
CS. Damn it, dude. Carnage. I like that team. And then they do this.
Well, so wait. Give me the update here, Greg. Is there actual proof, or is there actual evidence?
The impression that there's not conclusive proof, but enough people contacted the admins of the tournament saying that there was alleged match fixing, that word, it's not easy for me, that they booted them from the tournament.
Basically,
they were that, but was it just because the draft was so clowny?
The draft was really clowny, but there was a website called esportsbets.com where you can, you know, bet actual money. And what happened was that there were a bunch of new accounts that were created and money deposited specifically to bet on and only on the next KZ game in favor of Relax, who they were playing. So they were betting on Relax in the Relax next KZ game, and they were brand new accounts. And the minute the game was over and the betting, you know, was ended and people won their money, they immediately asked for cash withdrawals. So to, you know, get out of the system and not bet anymore.
That's still not conclusive proof, though.
It's not conclusive, but in things like
it's
this...
It's suspicious.
But when
it's
you,
suspect.
When you match up that...
With the
with
fucking
draft that they had...
Like, no team ever would draft this long.
They didn't release any numbers. They didn't release any numbers, esportsbets.com, but they made it sound like it was more than a handful of people who did
it
this.
It was more than two.
The other thing I have to say is that I have to imagine that this was enough money where, you know, they noticed it. You know, this was not some $10, $20.
The draft was Crystal Maiden, Bloodseeker, Axe, Pudge, and Bristleback, which really are four mana-intensive heroes that I could see CM synergizing with.
Right.
Yeah.
My point is just it's a slippery slope. At what point do you start saying, like, oh my god, this team picked really stupid heroes. They must be match fixing. Like, that, I don't know. But like, I didn't know about all the esportsbet.com stuff. That was
by itself, that was the evidence.
There have been
drafts that have been even worse than that. So you definitely can't say that's enough. But when you couple it with something like this, and I don't know, it seems like the admins handled it well. They immediately were like, you know, they posted it. Esportsbet.com seemed to post all the information that they felt was appropriate to make available. And
right. The thing that bothers me is it's sounds comparable to me, like Kobe Bryant's rape accusation, right? Did he rape her or not? I have no fucking clue. But if he didn't, that really sucks for him because that's really bad PR. Same with these guys. If they didn't actually match fix, this is really, really bad. And if they didn't actually match fix,
where's somebody from the organization coming out within the last 2 days saying, yo, this wasn't us?
Because that hasn't happened.
That is a fair point. Now, that is something that I would be
a little bit keen on. 2 days ago? 3 days ago?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very recently.
So it was within the week, but
it was
more than today or yesterday. Like, ample time for an organization to put out, you know, a perfunctory message saying, we didn't do this, we're getting to the bottom of this.
Did Meet Your Makers announce a team yet, or are they still looking for a team?
Because
I'm thinking, all right?
This is how they're financing all their the money that they owe?
XKC.
Oh, my God.
And the other... I see one of your mons in chat, K.R. Jaw, I don't know how to say that. Krazzle?
That's probably wrong.
Jesus. Like, he says, you know, I trust an XKZ a lot more than some dodgy betting site. And that's, you know, anecdotal, but still, how much do we actually trust esports-bets.com? I don't know anything about them, but at face value, I don't trust people that gamble. Like, you know, a gambling site. Like, you know, it's just, that's not a very credible source. I want to see some fucking logs. I want to see something that's, like, real, you know, just as, oh, well, we saw a lot of accounts that tried to cash out, like...
Yeah, I mean, well,
and you
my
are
thing,
who? What is
but
your
they're not. They wouldn't be.
They didn't like ban them from. They didn't ban them from like everything. You know, they just got kicked out of the tournament. I think that's completely.
Oh, that's like, fair enough. Whatever. I don't have a problem with that. I just
if it's not a huge betting website, they don't stand to like make anything from falsely accusing people of match fixing. It's
you
like
get publicity.
They closed the bets. And they refunded all of the bets that were already made after they canceled it. So it's not like they canceled the bets and then took the money from it. I think they did the right thing by saying, like, there's an issue that we think is here, so we're going to wipe our hands of this until something can be figured out.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, I think everyone handled it fine. No one's like... I mean, XKZ doesn't play in a lot of tournaments anyway, but... I don't know.
Well, I would agree, Mason, that I wouldn't assert that the intention of esports bets would be to screw this organization. There's nothing to gain from that. But what I worry about more is that jumping the gun, that there isn't real evidence and that, well, things are a little bit suspicious, and then you jump on the bandwagon of, oh, my God, these guys are match fixers. I mean, if that comes out to be true, that's like lifetime ban worthy, you know? Match fixing translates to a lifetime ban in some cases.
To be fair, the CIA... esportsbets.com is not the one that has the final jurisdiction over the CIS Carnage tournament to say whether or not they can participate. So,
right,
maybe
but the
there's
stuff
some
they
stuff...
said is what influenced them getting banned from CIS Carnage.
Well,
but
there's
some stuff that we don't know.
I
or
think
maybe...
that they didn't. Possible. I don't think they got banned because of things the website said. My impression is that people contacted Pingy, who is the admin and Russian caster, and said, "Hey, there's match fixing going on this." And then I think they went and looked at other things and. Made a decision. Right. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, you could call it unfair, but I'd rather be safe than sorry when it comes to match fixing.
I mean, I don't know one way or another. I'm not trying to sound like a NextKZ sympathizer. They very well may have matched fix. I have no idea. I've never even talked one-on-one to any of those players.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, if there isn't definitive evidence, those are really bold claims that could really fuck careers of, you know, prominent esports players.
Yeah,
and that's the part where... If there's proof that they are match fixing, by all means, ban them, do whatever you want, throw them to the wolves at Reddit, you know. But if they didn't, that's just a really unfortunate situation for normal players. But as you pointed out, Mason, if they're truly innocent, why haven't we heard any sort of a statement explaining as to, you know, I would agree that it's a little fishy that there hasn't been an official statement from their end.
Yeah. And while I do understand that is sort of a shitty thing to kind of carry along with you. if something does come up in the next 2 weeks and they make a statement saying like, oh, like we found out like they didn't actually match fix, like this is what actually happened, blah, blah, blah. They had nothing to do with this. I mean, there might be the odd person that still has like bad feelings towards them, but I don't know if, like, who's gonna, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I wouldn't harbor ill feelings towards a team that didn't actually end up doing something and just got, like, the short end of the stick when it came to pointing the finger.
Yeah, but we're not your regular person who doesn't have your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. You know, that's one of the problems with misinformation is people hear little tidbits and then they take that and then they walk away. I mean, not everybody watches all the streams and, you know, check Reddit a million times a day like we do, right? Some people, there are people out there that are more casual with that information. And that's where, I mean, there's still people that think that I threw Lumi out of a window and stole his job, right? There's plenty of data out there to find the truth, but not everybody is interested in seeking out the truth. They're just interested in grabbing a little tidbit of information and walking away, you know? So it's just very damaging to a brand if it turns out to be false allegations. That's basically my only point.
That is very, okay, yeah.
I couldn't make a decision because Esports Rep didn't show up, so I should go with him.
I'm still waiting on that one. He did show up in the Arteezy thread, though.
Oh, we're gonna get there. Artur.
So that was exciting.
This next topic has an intro.
Should I read the Esports Rep?
No, hold on. We're gonna start with a little audio clip.
All right.
Maybe.
Boy, we're getting fancy on the chat.
Do we get to hear that?
Oh God. All right, sorry. I had to play the song.
What song was it?
I believe that was Sad Boys.
It was Sad Boys. It was Kyoto. Okay.
All right, so following the announcement that Arteezy was taking a year off of Dota, he's now in a new team called Sad Boys, which includes Fear, Zai, PPD, Arteezy, obviously, and Universe. Could this be the new EG?
It's not. This is like the worst kept. I don't even feel bad talking about this. This is like the worst kept secret on the freaking planet. This is the new EG team. I'll be the one that says it, but like this is not a secret, really.
I will not confirm or deny anything.
I will say that this is the new EG team.
What the fuck is PPD doing on this team?
With a lot of, he's not, dude. He's good. He is very good. They played today.
Was that sarcasm or not sarcasm, Greg?
No, I think he's good.
I've not been impressed.
What has he done that's good?
I mean, his general play, I think, is just pretty good.
I mean, let's get this thing straight. He's miles better than any one of us. That's for damn sure.
But I mean, you don't think he plays at this level?
Wait, what?
You don't think he plays at this level?
At the EG level? I mean, if he can throw, then yeah.
Oh, my. Well,
does he play at the EG level? I mean, I think that there are...
Like who?
Demon.
Okay, yeah, but there's a...
But they threw him out already. Yeah, they gotta wait like 6 months to bring him back.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just misinformed, but from what I've seen of him in recent play, I've been unimpressed.
Did you guys watch the best of two this morning against Speed?
Yes. You mean against Liquid?
Liquid, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's another Speed series against Liquid. That was... Am I mistaken by saying PPD drafted both those games? I believe he's been drafting.
I have no idea who drafted.
No idea.
No clue.
Yes. Well, now that you guys aren't going to affirm, I don't want to jump aboard the bandwagon. But
if he did,
I'm sure someone in the chat will inform us.
I was watching both of those games this morning. I woke up and like that's what was on downstairs, and we were watching them. And both games, I looked at the draft and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? How are like? I think they were clearly outdrafted both games. Like, very, very obviously, just what are you going to do? Like, the first game, they had this huge, like, super greedy lineup. I can't remember what it was now, but there was, like, it was a triple core, like, OD, super, super greedy. And, of course, that didn't work. They had zero stuns. And then the next game as well, like, they had OK Heroes, but they had no team fight, no synergy. And, of course, once they started five-manning, they got steamrolled and they lost in 25 minutes. Both games just seemed pretty straightforward. And if PPD was the one drafting, then...
Ryu confirmed.
Many people are saying that he was the drafter.
So there you go, man. I mean, I agree with Mason a little bit.
I can totally... Just because he drafted these games doesn't mean he's going to be drafting.
I mean, I'm
biased, too. I'm not a PPD fan, so maybe
I should
comment.
I'm all for giving him the chance. You know, sometimes all it takes is a little bit of a roster shakeup with some new people that you mesh better with to, you know, sort of get back into the swing of things. You know, we haven't seen too much of Zai. Like, he's been a very good amateur / semi-pro player. I've seen him play. So
I've heard he's hot shit, isn't he?
Zai is very good.
He's pretty
Zai
good.
Zai was good in Han, and he is good in Dota 2. And the thing with Zai is he's really young. I think 2-3 years from now, if he keeps playing full-time Dota, he is going to be a serious high-level contender.
Basically, my impression of this team is they're going to be very streaky. Just looking at the players and the age of the players and the way that they play, I think sometimes this team is just going to come into tournaments and just win. Like, they're going to crush everyone, and it's going to be disgusting. And sometimes they're just going to get crushed and lose. Yeah. Because, I mean, people like Arteezy, you know, he tilts, he gets mad. He has a very specific play style. And I think if they can execute the lineups that ideally they're going to be playing eventually, it'll be good. And I think that also someone needs to yell at him when he buys Midas every time.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know much about the team chemistry of this yet. I mean, we really can't, but I don't know. I can definitely see Arteezy and Fear clashing heads sometimes.
I guess.
I feel like they have very different approaches to the game.
Yeah, but you don't know. Fear is not, like, Arteezy is, in person at least, not as inflammatory as you might think.
No, absolutely, and I think I've come to know that he's not how he presents himself on the stream, and I think even live on his stream, other than the kids bop, I think he's matured very much. I don't see so much flame. I don't see what I saw when I first.
I mean, when he types in all chat, you can't really. That's whatever, but I think the way he talks, at least in person, and what I've seen with him in teams is. He's pretty reasonable when it comes down to like pro play. He's pretty reasonable.
Today was a rough first day against Liquid, though. I mean, it was good game. To see Liquid. It was good to see Liquid in good form. I was happy to see that.
Yeah, but
I'll be like you said. It'll be good to see where they end up.
Yeah, I tweeted something about, oh, this draft isn't looking good, and a few people tweeted back, like, come on, man, it's their first game. I'm just like, all right, I mean, that is true. It was their first time playing together, so you sort of, I guess that does lower the bar a little bit with pretty, you know, against a team like Liquid, who were playing well, they drafted well, but I don't know. I'll sound pretentious and say I wasn't particularly impressed with the matches this morning.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that this year could be Fear's last hurrah? Like, if he doesn't find the team that performs well up to and through TI4, do you think he might call it done?
It's impossible to say, I think. I don't know. I mean, it could be. What was the tournament they were even playing in this morning? Anyone?
It was the joint Dota.
Yeah, it was joint Dota, something or other. I don't know. People like, I see PPD in a similar scenario, like a similar situation as Trouf. Like, one of these players that like has been around the MOBA scene for a while. I know a lot of people hate that word. That's a whole other can of worms. But
I thought we agreed on ass faggots.
Ass faggots. Thought, yeah, that works pretty well.
I thought we agreed on ARTS. Okay.
Oh, I hate. So anyway, like. Both Trouf and PPD are like they've been around Dota, Han, what have you, for a long time, right? And they're obviously individually skilled players. They can contend at that upper echelon. They're better than just your random pubs. They're in that top, whatever, 0.01% of players that can actually compete. But their problem is that they can't stay in a team long enough to really get that team synergy and work together and work their way towards like a TI competing team. You know, they're too flaky. They're too emotional. You lose one series, they start yelling at each other, and then before you know it, they've broken up. How many teams PPD been on in Dota 2 already? How many Han teams was he on in Heroes of New Earth? Like, I can't even fantasize a world where PPD and Trial stay on a team for more than, like, 3 months. And then as soon as they lose a big tournament, they break up and they try and reshuffle. That worked in Han when there was a pool of, like, 15 good players you could just keep rotating around. But Dota, there's too many people. It's too serious. There's too many real teams that have been together for 5-plus years working together, like, you know, your Fnatics that have that team synergy and friendship that are just going to blow you out of the water every single time when you're trying to just look for that quick fix of, oh, I didn't get along with these guys. Let's try these guys.
Yeah, but they're going to have contracts and things, like, holding them together. You can assume that they're going to be living together.
We'll see, Greg.
You're right. It might just blow up in their face, and they might be horrible. But, you know, a lot of teams
Like, Sigma, they, after games that they lose, they rage at each other. Like,
do they? Oh, they don't seem like ragers.
They rage at each other. At least,
well, one guy is going fucking mad. I mean,
and basically, like, I mean, I don't know, but I definitely, I 300% understand what you're saying. This is like a bunch of NA players who fucking knows. Like, they're known pretty well for not staying together. But no idea. But I mean, PPD is pretty unproven. Zai is unproven in Dota 2. I think you can say fairly. But I think
he's unproven, but I think he's played.
Yeah, he's very
consistently
good.
Better.
Consistently very well. But I mean, I think having Fear, Arteezy, and Universe as your core is pretty good. Like,
yeah,
Universe,
that's a solid thing.
I think
to build
Universe is one of the most talented players in North America. Arteezy is.
He's Arteezy.
I think it's like, it's not unfair to say that he's the best North American player in terms of pure talent. Like, not close, really. And a lot of people probably are going to flame me. I'm sure I'm going to get flamed in the chat by Ryu especially. But he's really good. Like, he is extremely good. And if they can find a lineup that fits, because I think right now, I'm sure that... do you guys remember what their core was this morning? Like, what the... I was just trying to find, like, anything about the games, and I couldn't find anything.
Well, Arteezy was mid.
I know he played OD one game, bought a Midas, and then died to a bunch of ganks that a four staff would have saved him from. But
can't you look at like the past matches on Join Dota?
There's not on there. I looked.
The map, really?
It should be.
Oh, on the match ticker, maybe.
Yeah.
Matches.
How do you look
well,
at?
Well, I'll
the...
keep looking for it, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to sound like a huge PPD hater. I don't. It's like one of those things where I want to be honest, but I also don't want to fire
it.
Shots. You know. But I have kind of a history with him for being flaky. And like when I was casting Han, I used to cast with that Australian girl, Sneaky, and we had like a tryout for other casters. And he applied, and obviously he didn't get the job. And he was really, really mad and very immature about it and sent me some unfavorable messages on Skype that I have not forgotten about PPD. And that, you know, like he's one of those guys that's just like a total keyboard warrior. And then I met him at DreamHack, and he was just kind of like hands in his pockets, like, oh, hi, Sayori. You know, it's just like, come on, man. Like, either be a dick all around or just be nice.
Everyone's
all
like that, though.
I'm not like that.
Every
man.
Dude, well, no. No, I mean, like, every flamer is like that. Like, everyone who flames online is like, you meet them in LAN and they're like super polite and they're like, yeah, how's it going? You're like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
These
it's
lineups
just like,
don't look. Okay, the second.
Shout outs to Grand
Grand. Wow, that second game. Okay.
Can,
the second
can you
game
link,
lineup.
Can you link me what you're looking
yeah,
at?
I got
I'll
I got,
paste
I got.
It in. Yeah.
So. If any of you missed it, I'll just say what the lineups were real quick. For the first game, Sad Boys ran Crystal Maiden, Lifestealer, Viper, Venomancer, OD, and they had this really awkward offlane Viper thing going on that just really got destroyed. Like, it was bad. And then their second was a Bane, Lifestealer, Crystal Maiden, Venomancer, Lone Druid, which... is a lot more solid.
I mean, both of these lineups look like in the realm of reasonable for me. That Viper is a little weird in the first game.
And then Coifa just decided to play Tusk and kind of push.
Well, yeah, Tusk is pretty. Seems like if you build the right tri lane, or it's pretty unfair.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, they. Yeah. Game one was just too greedy, right? You've got those like three core heroes, Viper, Lifestealer, and OD, and it's like, where are they going to find all that farm against Ursa?
I think Viper in this lineup just doesn't make sense.
The Viper offlane just didn't work. When there were ganks from Enchantress from the jungle, and the tri-lane had a Nyx Assassin and a Shadow Shaman, there was just too much lockdown for an offlane that didn't have an escape.
Yeah. And I mean, the game two draft was definitely... a lot better. It just that game was just a little bit more. I guess looking at this draft is a little bit misleading. The big like pitfall I think was the first they didn't ban Alchemist. That was the biggest problem. And they had like one ban left. They had the second ban, and they banned out Nyx Assassin instead of Alchemist. And Liquid, without skipping a beat, first pick Alchemist straight away. And like in the draft, we saw it coming. Like ban Alchemist. It's like, why would you ban Nyx Assassin over Alchemist? Like, I know Koikva did some work in the last game, but they are going to kick your ass with that fucking Alchemist. It's just like, I don't know. I just don't like the drafting style, man.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? Maybe Fear will draft. Arteezy won't draft ever. But
They don't trust him, or?
I mean, he just doesn't really draft. Like, it's not his thing. He doesn't, like, Arteezy doesn't watch pro games, really. Like, he just, like, I know he doesn't. He mostly, he'd rather just play and get better.
I'm just gonna chill.
Like, he'd rather just slam pick middle and kill people. Like,
you know who I'm excited about? Speaking of, we're talking about PPD and Zai from Heroes of New Earth to Dota.
Corey?
Do you guys know the name? No. Well, Corey's okay, but do you guys know the name Slicks? Do you remember him from Han?
No.
Never played Han.
I didn't watch Han.
Sounds sexy. Continue.
He's playing Dota, and watch out, because Slicks is a destroyer of worlds. I think he is one of the top Han players. When I was involved in competitive Heroes of New Earth, I think he was the best player that I had the privilege of casting, so I have high hopes for his Dota 2 career. Keep an eye out. S-L-I-C-K-Z. But you guys haven't heard of him, so never mind. I'll keep my...
Well, mate, we get to know him.
We're on the show.
French Tucker.
We'll have him in the show. Why not? All right.
But I don't
he's
know.
Australian.
I mean, whatever.
He suffers from being issues.
This is the new EG team. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully I don't get any hate mail for saying that on Twitch, but this is almost definitely the new EG team as long as nothing explodes in regards to contracts and things. But we'll see. I don't know. I have no idea whether if they're gonna move into the house. I mean, I gotta assume they are.
I would assume so.
And then, yeah. I don't really. Never mind. I did something else, but. All
right. I want to move on because this topic to me is the most important topic, and I want to hear nothing. Nothing from any of you. I want your utmost respect for this next topic. Okay.
I have an addendum.
Because I.
You guys don't know.
No. It's even no. Better. Listen. I'm older than you.
I don't know if you're so educated enough to
listen
understand.
Listen, I passed high school.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Barely.
So.
Oh,
Marco is back. Metallic is back, baby. They have an East League, they have a West League. And he is the most, and I think the tagline for Metallic should be the most respected league in Dota. Okay? And secondly, none of you guys buy a ticket for this, okay? At least in my opinion. It was supposed to be like, there's a part like, how do we feel Marco does work with Metallic? Do we boycott the organization? Yes, we fucking boycott the organization. The guy is an asshole, and anything he works with should be boycotted until he gets the fuck out of there, and then we buy. I don't care what CK set they have. I don't care what courier they have.
You probably already bought the ticket, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You
no, go ahead and look at my inventory.
You wanted the goddamn CK set.
Look into my inventory.
He'll trade for the CK set.
I'll buy it off the marketplace, all right, before I do that. Do not, I repeat, do not buy these, please, for the love of God. This guy needs to leave the scene, and the longer he stays... I mean, and the last Natalic League was horrendous, right? We had clueless casters. We had some racist, homophobic comments by casters, right? It was a clusterfuck, and that's one of my favorite words to use. I'm glad I could use it. The thing was a mess last season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Marco, and I see no reason to buy this ticket when there are plenty of other tickets out there to buy that will have better everything, I promise.
Did you guys see that Isama and friends were officially kicked off Speed Gaming as well?
Yeah,
it was quite
Marco.
Beat up about it,
Marco was in charge of the in-game team for Speed, and he removed them from the team. So you know,
well, they have a plan of the Kaipei again.
Whatever. Who knows?
You know, I still get flack for that interview I did with Marco. Of course, the infamous Marco interview where he revealed his true colors in front of the world. There were people that posted in that Reddit. It's hard to tell when people are just straight trolling on Reddit when they're being serious, but people still post on shit. Oh, that Zayori guy, I really liked him until that interview, and that was just so unprofessional and rude, and I just can't take that guy seriously. I don't care who your guest is. You still got to treat people. I'm just like, I really can't tell if you're joking or not, but...
And nobody
I think some
hates
people,
on Charlie.
I think some people are still genuinely like, you want to pretend to be a show host, you're so unprofessional. It's like, you just, I don't even know what to say to those people. They're just so far disconnected from the source, you know? It's like, but funny anecdote here. You'll never guess who re-added me on Skype the other day looking for someone to cast this next season.
No way! Are you serious?
If you are patient for a moment here, I will send you logs that confirm.
Oh, my.
He actually oh, my God. I think he deleted them. A good thing I sent it to somebody else.
This guy,
he's so...
He added you on Skype.
Well, we were friends on Skype. Well, we were friends on Skype, right? And then after the interview, he defriended me on Skype. And then he refriended me to ask if I would cast MPL, sent me some messages, And then I said no, and then he deleted all of the messages he sent to me. But that's the back and forth I had. I mean, it wasn't hostile, but I was like flabbergasted that after everything we went through, he would say like, "Hey man, you know anybody that would like to cast? You want to do it?" And I said,
"No."
Like,
oh yeah, no, kill it, no.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'm in, man. And he said, it's not for free, of course. I loved the line when he says, if you know anyone, let us know, please, thanks. In one line, just like, please, thanks. I'm just like, why? I don't know anyone,
no
man.
No one's going to work with you ever again.
I said it to Chris, and I was like, Chris, if you're looking for work, he was just like, no.
I'm also trying to translate the rest of these somewhat broken English sentences.
Just sat down.
I meant west while the east.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Alright, whatever. Marco's a scumbag. Don't buy the ticket. There's plenty of other things that you can buy and use. Don't support anything that guy touches.
I didn't get the flag you got for him because to me, it was such a ridiculous situation to be in that you're listening to him talking, you're like, I'm supposed to keep a straight face during this.
Dude, I would have kicked him. I was just like,
shit.
I was watching that and I was like, I think I was more mad than laughing because that guy just sounded so stupid.
Oh, I was laughing my ass off.
I'm with you
in that camp.
I was like, the day after that, like, I was a little bit down on my luck, just kind of like, man, people are actually like, I'm getting a lot of hate for this. And DJ Wheat did a live on 3 where they were talking about that whole thing. They did a special episode talking about it. And I called in and I was actually on the show and I asked Wheat, I told him about it. I was like, Wheat, man, do you think I done fucked up here or do you think I was kind of appropriate? And he said, honestly, man, I probably would have done the same thing. Like, when you're a show host, you don't know that someone's going to come on and act like that. So he's like, you can't really mentally prepare for something that ridiculous. And he said, you know, maybe it was a little bit unprofessional, but, you know, I probably would have been right there with you.
But so Marco was completely professional and extremely respectful.
Exactly. So. That's what people tell. I'm just like, what? Like,
there's no anticipating the nonsense that happened in that interview. There's
like,
just
I knew it was going to be a shit show, but I didn't, not to what magnitude was what it was surprising. I was just blown away by that whole thing. That I'd never seen Charlie. Every time I've talked to Charlie, it's just been cool, calm, and collected, very kind of like monotone, like, hey Charlie, what's going on? I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. And Charlie's just like, are you kidding me? Like, I was like, damn, Charlie.
Dude, Charlie gets heated.
He does.
Charlie up in his goddamn spaceship.
And I'm really...
I'd like to say that anytime you see Charlie with a sunflower, if you guys weren't watching that episode, that is our responsibility.
We created that mess.
Yeah, we actually...
And we revel in it.
That's like, what is hip and monolith, right? And it's going to be that picture in the middle.
The fucking sunflower.
And that's
going to
be our t-shirt. Oh, my God. I can't blame you, though, for how you reacted, because luckily for us, the tagline... unprofessionally professional show in Dota allows us to do stuff like that. Because if I had a douche nozzle on the show that was that bad, I would probably accidentally click the red button that says disconnect on him too. I mean, or at least flame him as he was on. I can't really blame you. I would probably have done worse.
Yeah. So I mean, I wasn't even really trying to make fun of him. It was just so ridiculous. I didn't even have to do much to get him on either. I didn't really have to lie to him or be like, you know, like under false pretense if it's going to be really nice and good PR. I kind of told him, like, you know, if you want to, I posted on that Reddit thread, like, if he wants to man up and come on the show, you know, the open invitation. And he said, like, man up, really? Like, and I was just like, all right, sorry.
That was in the heat
of the moment. But I said, honestly, man, people are really upset about this. If you want to come on and clear the air, by all means.
Yeah, go for it.
That was pretty much all I said. And he said, okay, sure. That was it. It didn't take much. So he was pretty eager to come on and tell Charlie how uneducated he was.
Charlie's the dumbest motherfucker I've met in my
God
life.
Damn it, Charlie.
He lowers my IQ every time I talk to him, you know?
Yeah. So the other thing...
He's too damn smart. I'm scared the fuck of him.
The other thing that's going to be interesting is what teams are going to play in NPL.
Apparently five teams signed up or something, or six.
This, I don't have it on this hard drive because I just formatted it, but I asked him, I was like, can you send me like the schedule or whatever? And he sent me that document, and it has all that information in there, like what teams are signed up. And, like, the teams that are confirmed are, like, the retry and, like, the bottom tier, like,
PGG's
star
team.
Ladder teams.
Oh yeah,
like the teams that aren't even, like, really teams. No offense to the retry.
That's
but not a team.
That's PGG's band of,
you know,
people.
Like, I'm pretty sure SSD was on there. And
PGG's playing in this. PDPD's in this as well.
No, PGG.
No, Oh, PG.
Not PDPD.
New Hate Train.
What
New
is Train? What is different. PGG?
You don't know who PG...
No, I mean, is it like PG-13, but...
No, it's his name is Please Go Game, PGG.
See, I always call him PPG, but that's for that...
You know me.
You just like saying PP.
PP.
Yeah, you know me.
Maybe it's because of PPD. It's too many P's and G's.
Yeah, we have too many three-letter acronyms to start with P, okay? Yeah. At least need one, only one. our final topic of this evening is Yamata went to Titan. So after playing with Mysterious Standards for the last few weeks, Titan has announced that Yamata has joined the ranks of Titan, and Orange is now short on members again. Yeah. So the final roster, Extinct Ohio, Net, KYXY, and Yamata, and by the way, HYSY is apparently not coming to Dota again. So.
Yeah, apparently the new update is HYHY is not actually playing Dota. He posts on his Facebook, he's like, yeah, I'm just playing casually. And apparently the manager was confused too, and like, it sounds like there was a whole lot of miscommunication and things of that sort, so I got no idea. But Yamata left Orange after Miracle pieced out of Titan. And I don't know, this team looks pretty good now. I feel bad for Orange because they keep like losing members. But
man, I wasn't flaming TR guys. I like PGG.
PGG is like one of the funniest guys.
The point that I was trying to make is that they don't have like your Navi's alliances signed up. That's all I'm saying. Like if
TR,
top tier, if TR is the most notable team, if TR is your most like well known team that you have in your tournament. No offense, but
you're not a tier one tournament. That's just what it is.
Yeah, that's the point I was making. No offense to PGG or TR. I like those guys. You know, they're cool. I like watching their games, but it's I wish I had the document so I could cite exactly which teams were confirmed.
I mean, I'm kind of happy that Natalic's kind of floundering. No offense, and I'm happy.
I mean, no one's going to join that tournament. Like,
and
why?
At least I can win some easy money.
And it's on Daily Motion
too.
But like,
why would a team join?
Oh, we're just going to throw that in there too.
Why would a team join that tournament? Like. There's just a possibility they pull all these games and they don't get paid, or like, who fucking knows what's gonna happen? Like, that guy's so goddamn unreliable and so like has such a horrible reputation. If he's in charge of it, like, why would you touch it? It's not like your schedule is not gonna be busy enough without that tournament. There's like a million tournaments that teams can sign up for. Most teams are way too busy as it is, except for some of the NA teams are kind of screwed right now. But you know, during the normal tournament schedule when things are going, you just don't have time for like. All these things, and you know, having to shut down one like this is like whatever. Who cares? So,
yeah, but,
yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you guys.
No,
just
it's
responding
fine.
To the
it's fine. We're okay.
We
with
get
that.
Derailed all the time.
I'm too sensitive. I don't like
we
it
do
when
it to ourselves.
When people say mean
shiny
things
objects,
me.
Shiny objects all the time. Every
I'm
day.
Too sensitive for Reddit, man. I gotta stop going to that website.
Dude Reddit's
here's,
horrible, never.
Here's
horrible.
The thing.
Never read
here's
the comments.
Thing. Everyone, every caster I've seen, all right, has gone through a love-hate like cycle. It's like
it's
first Toby's loved, then he's hated, and now Toby's loved, okay? Right now, Cap is getting some flame, but in about a month's time, he's going to be loved. You're getting flame, and
like a month ago, you were like the bee's look, knees.
I know.
People
that's
loved you.
Like, it's, I'm like, dude, I'm the same guy. I haven't even done anything. It's like it's just weird. It's like that to me, that's the part that makes it easier to swallow, because it's like 2 months ago, I was like literally the hero white knight. Look at this guy with this new commentary style doing all this radio.
Dreads flowing in
dreads,
the air.
He's so creative with those dreads, and he's got dogs. Oh, man, have you seen? He's got dogs. And it's just like everyone's like jerking off to like everything that I do. Everything I post on there gets uploaded to Oblivion, and then, you know, you joined Beyond the Summit? Well, fuck you, man. You suck.
You're not good enough for Eldian Gods.
Man, now I'm going to go back to join the Summit, Beyond the Summit, or go back to join Dota, Beyond the Summit, ruining everything now that they don't have Loomies.
Literally killing esports.
Yeah, and it's just like... Like even if just look at this chat wheel thread. Like usually, I think you guys get a little bit better upvotes than a net of 8, and my name was on it. So
yeah, look what you did.
Sorry.
No, look
sorry
what you did.
We didn't even hit front page last week, so it's okay. Like we didn't. We hit front page this week.
I don't.
It's
feel
just we usually get actual questions instead of just what we've gotten this week.
Some of them are pretty creative, though. You know, so you gotta
there was
I may or may not have upvoted one that I thought was just clever. Like, you know, this is clever, rude but clever.
The one we upvoted was,
we're gonna go over this,
dude.
Sorry,
yeah,
in advance.
Zyuri, huge props for being on the ball and joining BTS. Those guys are real nose for sniffing out talent.
Yeah.
I thought that one was clever. I might have upvoted it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the ball hate. Actually, for a while, like, what really got me down about it was, like, when you're, you know, not making any money and, like, trying to get that big break, you're sort of just like, anytime you see something like that, you just can't help but think to yourself, man, each one of these comments is just further evidence why a studio doesn't want to hire me because I have all this baggage. Now that I'm in a studio, people, like, you know, making comments about my balls are just, it kind of deflects pretty easily because I know the BTS guys don't care about it either. So
yeah,
that's the only reason it bothered me. It's not like that embarrassment, like, oh no, people saw my balls, people think I'm weird because I like the way my balls smell. Like, you know, that is not what bothered me. It was more like that holding me back from my career goals is what fundamentally bothered me. Now that I'm still making progress, it's easier to be like, all right, you're obsessed with my testicles. Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah.
ladies won't get this, but I'll be honest. Every fucking guy has done it once in his life. Right? Everyone has done it. And that's the thing that gets me about it. Everyone's making jokes about it.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
Isn't it? It's like every guy's done it at least once. Like, oh, do I smell good? Do I not smell good? Every guy's done it once. And this is what they're going on is like, oh, well, you sniffed your balls,
God,
and that's great.
I mean,
every guy has done it, and no one's saying it, but they fucking have. They're not honest enough.
Apparently, you're saying it.
Yeah, Jesus. Who hasn't?
God knows you sniffed your own balls.
All right, well.
Usually Mason's sniffing my balls, but that's different.
Yeah. That is flattering to some degree, though. There's like
yeah,
this
man,
weird...
people are obsessed with your testicles. How can you
yeah,
not...
man.
You're gotta,
there's
that's
this weird,
be okay.
Like, subculture of people that make a hobby out of like coming into my stream, you're like, oh, a ball sniffer, and leaving. I'm like, you guys really, like, how many times did you watch that video? How many times have you actually seen my penis?
Dude, it's my background.
It's a surprising
right
amount.
Okay.
Yeah. It's my back. It's like, there are some people that I wonder, like, they're like taking notes, you know? I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, warning signs should be going off in the head a little bit if you're still under, like, the illusion that you're heterosexual,
when,
you know?
When I've had a rough day and my father had a stroke, your balls,
it really saved me.
Really picked
going
me up
to a dark place.
Oh,
not as dark,
God,
as your taint, but pretty dark. Okay. I don't know, I don't see why people give a shit, but the problem is that it just haunts you, because every time you put a post, it's like here's one that's really, really, really good. Will there be any ball sniffing? What the fuck, dude? Can't you be original? At least you get, yeah, if you're original about it, it's like, all right, I can kind of find that funny. But, like, will there be any ball sniffing? No, there won't be any fucking ball sniffing, you idiot.
Yeah.
That's for After Dark.
Do you guys know Jiggle Billy?
I know Jiggle Billy.
Yes.
Right after the incident, he streamed naked in honor of me. And, oh, man. Like,
didn't his Switch get shut down for that or
what
something?
No, I mean, you didn't see his dick, but he's sitting there. It's like, you know, a shirtless stream. And he's like, every time he got a kill, he'd just go... It's just like, and of course now nobody thinks of Jiggle Billy as the ultimate ball sniffer. He did it like 100 times. I only did it once. You know, I like Jiggle Billy. That guy, he makes
hilarious.
He's awesome. And at the time, I liked it. It was a nice little friendly way to pay tribute to my testes. I'm into it. You know,
fair enough.
Beating that ego.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up? Any podiums you need to stand on?
I probably should have thought about this ahead of time, but not really. I mean, it's just cool. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad the BTS guys are happy with me and eager to take a chance on me. It's been a lot of fun. Gods is still in Australia, so I haven't had much time to mingle with him, but LD and K-Poptosis and Merlini have all been a lot of fun so far in the house, and rotating cooking and all that sort of stuff. We always talk about
the best cook.
Oh, K-Poptosis by far. He actually likes it. See, the rest of us just think, I need to eat today. He thinks, what kind of delicious treats can I enjoy cooking this evening? You know,
I feel like his attention to detail with stats would go mm-hmm. towards food too.
Oh yeah, we had pizza last
no,
night.
No, not that much salt. Perfect.
He's been spoiling us. They asked me, like, oh, do you cook? And I was like, yeah, a little bit. And I'm thinking more like pasta and some ragu sauce, you know. They've been nailing it. Like, Merlini made salmon the other day. LD doesn't
Holy.
Cook, but yeah,
wow.
it's
living the good life.
Yeah, yeah. So
K-Poptosis needs like a nice, you know, bow tie around the neck. Are your balls, please, sir?
So it's been cool. I'm looking forward to everything being up and running, and we can actually start like casting. And there's been this like long stretch of LD like telling everyone, like promising, like, guys, I swear we're working on stuff. I swear I'm doing things. I'm not just on vacation. And like it's finally gonna become like obvious that all the stuff that they've been working on over the past few months to get this new studio up and rolling, it's gonna come to life pretty soon. Like the next couple weeks is when shit's really gonna get awesome. So I'm really looking forward to showing off all the hard work that's being put into BTS over the past year, and using our new studio. The new desk is awesome, man. It is so it's sick. It's huge. It's like the GD studio but cooler. It's hard to imagine.
Right here.
I don't know. Maybe the set could be cooler, but I mean.
No, that's
too good's pretty cool, and he scares the shit out of me. He's too damn smart.
I was talking about the desk.
Okay.
Just the desk.
I mean, we're nothing else. But
the desk is particularly cool. That thing is like it was custom built. It's like a custom designed desk. It's pretty awesome.
James has an accent too, which automatically like levels the.
It's level.
They have gods.
Yeah. We have gods.
British, Australian.
Yeah,
they make gods is tall.
That's true.
Gods is so tall. Oh my god.
Gods is mad cute. All
right. Well, we have a.
Yeah, huh? Shout-outs.
We have a special ending shout-out for Coddle Guy and Mason. We're going to be casting the Helios Esports and Logitech Season 1 League. It's Amateur Dota League. And maybe Coddle Guy will lay any more information
Coddle
on
Guy.
The chat.
Yay, Coddle Guy.
Mason's been casting
really talked
Coddle
to Coddle
Guy.
Guy.
Coddle Guy is the fucking man, dude.
He is the man.
He seems awesome. Yes. I wish
never invited me, but, you know, that's okay.
I can empathize with Coddle Guy because I'm basically Dazzle Guy, and... The difference is Dazzle gets picked a little bit. Coddle doesn't get much love right now, so it's a rough time to be Coddle Guy, because that's just... I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw Coddle picked in a competitive game.
I actually told him, like, a few days ago, I'm like, listen, your icon is, like, Coddle Guy, like, with a headset. He had a new one. I'm like, dude, this guy needs... Coddle Guy needs to look young with, like, the beard if you want to match your visage. All right? And... It
everybody
just
smile and nod. Everybody.
I don't understand what's going on right now.
Yeah. If you haven't seen his icon, you wouldn't understand, all right? Maybe you should watch more Coddle Guy, Greg. Just called you out on that.
Whatever.
Right? Maybe you should cast more Coddle Guy, Darius. Oh, wait. You don't want
me to cast. I mean, I can cast, but you better have me casted.
This is why we keep him away.
This is why. I could be a good host, but you don't want me to cast unless you want, like, absolutely nothing of value added except just wise ass remarks and like bullshit. I can do that all day, but if you want, like, well, you know, we should have went with a BKB instead of that Manta.
Isn't
because
that basically
he's been so,
yeah, but he,
yeah,
you know,
and Pyrian took my spot. Pyrian
took he has
my
an accent. We've already talked about
and he has
accent.
An accent. I can't do anything against that.
Yeah. You
can't do
that.
Accents. I can only do voices. That's all I can do. Yeah. So Mason's gonna be casting with Coddle Guy, right? So guys, you make sure to watch that.
And also, if you guys
Helios
like...
Helios Esports League starts on February 1st to the 22nd with over $1,500 in prizes.
Yeah.
Proud of you, Mason.
I'm moving up in the world.
Tearing up. But also, if you guys like the Trivia Bot, that's also Coddle Guy's doing. So.
Yeah. Greg has actually been casting the Collegiate League, too.
Yep. I've been casting Collegiate Dota League. It's been pretty fun. Me and Mott have been casting every Tuesday and Wednesday from 7:30 to... whenever one best of three ends, and it's kind of a throwback to the NEL era, because it's not the most serious cast in the world, because sometimes questionable decisions are made, but it's a lot of fun, and if you guys have a college, they might have a team, you should check it out on cstarleague.com, because most colleges, there's a lot of teams, there's like over 100, so it's fun. I don't know, you guys check that out, I guess.
Amen. Mason, do you have any shout-outs, period, or just...
Yeah, just going to reiterate to check out the Helios Esports League. You can buy the Dota TV ticket right now, actually, for 99 cents. So that Big Mac Jr. that you were going to go out and get, give us the money instead.
I guess I'll go buy a ticket.
It'll be a good time, and in the meantime, while that's waiting to start up, Coddle's still doing the Amateur Dota 2 League, which I've been co-casting some as well, so that's always a good time, and big shout-out to him for... kind of giving me an official opportunity to jump on and do some cast with him. It's been a lot of fun. And,
Are you gonna get to like be the second screen on his MLG ripoff screen, you know, where he has like his face superposed on top of the caster? I don't know if you've seen this, but it's actually pretty funny. He starts the music up and he has like his box of his webcam right in the face of the guy at the caster desk. Then he has an empty one just sitting over there for his co-caster. Are you going to be in that?
I mean,
pressing minds don't want to know.
I think I have to grease some palms before that works. There, a little bit of dirty esports money has to flow back and forth between me and Cottle. I think the going rate was like $2.5.
$2.5 million
It's esports money. No, just $2.5. Oh, okay. This is amateur esports.
Twice the ticket price, Mason. That's not smart.
Yeah, I mean, look at it that way. I have to pay. like two and a half times the ticket price to get my stuff up there. So that's a heavy investment.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. We'll have it in the chat. Twitter followers do help us out because it gives us a little more leadway and more, you know.
And it makes us feel better.
Yeah, and I really hate talking to myself. I'm actually at a point where people start responding to me on Twitter, and it's fun. Like, oh my God, LD responded. Actually, he hasn't added me. But, oh, Zarya responded. And Zarya retweeted my things.
I feel that way about
Twitter. Zarya already retweeted everything.
I hated Twitter, and then all of a sudden, like, I started casting on BTS, and then Twitter got fun. Now people actually respond when I say things, and I can have conversations. And
You learned the retweet button. That's what you did.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch, you retweet everything. It's like,
I like to throw it out, man. I mean, I'm still small enough that I can empathize with the folks that are, like, really trying to, like, have fun in social media and everyone ignores you. Not everyone, but, you know, it takes a while to get, like, that ball rolling.
Yeah.
So. I try to empathize, you know, throw out some because I remember, like, you know, having 150 followers being like, man, how come nobody retweets me? This sucks. So hopefully if I can make somebody smile with a retweet, then it's a little bit of effort that can go a long way.
You did
way,
it. You know, two guys saying. Right here.
All
right,
there you go.
120.
So. All right, I'm going to have to – I'll brag to the BTS guys. I'll be like, guys, start retweeting more. It makes people happy.
Yeah, and have them add me, okay?
Dwight's just not a bar begging.
I'm just –
I talk to LD all the time. It's like, what's going on, man? And I think they don't even realize they're not following me, you know, because that's happened before. Like, how am I not following you? I'm like,
they don't love you. That's what it is. They're just ignoring
you. I'm just upset.
But it is
a busy man, okay? He's not sitting there on looking at Twitter theory crafting. Who am I not following on Twitter that will really add to my feed? You know what he's doing? He's making business happen. Busy man.
Is he recording a song with gods? Like his.
Oh,
like
man.
Hey, I don't know what he's doing.
I'm not a hands off. That's not my part of BTS.
It's Kickstarter, baby.
I say I don't step into the LD office. I take orders and I do what I'm told. You know,
I don't step in the office. I just stay underneath the desk. All right, everybody. That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. We had some laughs. We had some tears. We had some flames. Whole lot of flames. And we'll see you next week.
Same take time. Care. Same place.
Yep.
Hopefully. Thanks for watching.
Same jokes.
If Greg can wake up.
Wow. See ya. Bye, guys. See ya.
Bye.